Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. I'm glad you could join us. Folks, I'm just going to ask you again to set aside May 28th between 6:30 and 8 p.m. We're sponsoring Back the Blue at the Stanley Hall Ballroom. We're going to honor members of Craven, Carteret, and Pamlico Sheriff's Offices and also Newbern and Havelock Police Departments. It's that time. Just come and visit. There is not a charge. We just want you to come there and support the members that are being honored. Again, welcome to the show. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Well, welcome. Okay, so we're going to start off on what?
Supreme Court.
Yeah, Supreme Court issued a decision today, 6-3, which was pretty nice to see all the conservatives together for a change. Actually coming out and said that districts that are gerrymandered primarily by race violate the laws of this country, and
Section
you're not
two.
Allowed to do that.
Section okay. 2 of the Voting Rights Act.
Right, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Right.
Well, we were hoping they would declare Section 2 unconstitutional. They didn't go that far. They just said that if it was race that was used, or if there were other aims that they announced for the gerrymandering that were not constitutional.
Well, I think both parties gerrymander, depending on who's in power. And I know I'm going to get a lot of kickback for it, but my opinion is if you have 60% of one party and 40% of another party, that should equal your representation. As far as the House of Representatives goes, we still have the deal with the senators that would have different districts, I would imagine. But I just think it's wrong, no matter who does it, the Democrats or the Republicans, because District 3, which we used to be, we got folded into District 1 in the hopes of creating another Republican-leaning district. But aren't we disenfranchising the 40% of the people that would oppose our political view?
But I think when we were sent into District 3, that
District
was
1.
When we were thrown into District 3, I believe that was part of the judgment that who was the Democrat on the Supreme Court when she gave the dividing up the districts to four very liberal professors that were out of state. And that's how we ended up in District 3. And now the state legislature, according to our laws and rules or whatever else, the state legislature defines the districts. They're supposed to be as compact as possible. And it is not something that the governor can veto.
Well, the New England states are a very good example of what you're trying to avoid in the fact that Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, and Connecticut don't have any Republican representatives in the Senate, in the House of Representatives. And in those states, the Republicans are not the majority, but they run anywhere from 35% to 45%. And they have no representation in Congress.
That's my point.
And I agree with her.
Yeah, I agree with her, too. Two people agree with you, Kim.
Wow, shocking. That's a record.
But before we went on the air, you said you didn't agree with her.
But we need you.
I agree with the principle. What I'm saying is that if the other side's going to do it in an underhanded way, and you're going to lose, and you're going to lose the country, you have to play by the same dirty rules they play with. But I agree with you. The whole gerrymandering thing is not right, because there ought to be some fair system. But we in this country, we haven't been able to develop it so far.
Well, I think if we did that, I think for one thing, you would get the willy-nilly independents to choose a position. Otherwise, they wouldn't have any representation. So that would also help with the primaries, with people voting the opposite party as an independent voter just to pick the candidate. So I think there'd be a lot of positives to that.
Well, that's up to the state to have whether to have closed primaries or not.
Right.
But they're expecting, from what these commentators said, that the Republican Party could pick up somewhere between 14 and 18 seats if they go through with doing what the Supreme Court says that you have to do. In other words, you cannot use race to set up your districts.
What did Virginia use when they did their redistricting that would make it 10-1?
They admitted they were doing it for partisan purposes. Which under the Supreme Court decision today would make it unconstitutional.
There's another aspect to this too. When you look at the way the representation is figured. And that has to do with the fact that during the 2020 census, illegals and non-citizens were counted in the census. And a lot of states with a large population of illegal aliens or non-citizens got more representatives than they should have. Now, if you clean that up, you're going to have New York and California losing representatives.
Right.
And you're going to have states like Florida and Texas gaining representatives. So that's a whole nother wrinkle in the fabric here. But right now, there are an awful lot of people, an awful lot of voters in America that are not being represented in the House of Representatives.
But I want to bring forth my crying towel. If we don't count the illegals in New York and California, how are we going to support them and give them all the benefits that are due the U.S. citizens?
What? Now you're just throwing a loaded grenade on the table, Bob.
Tongue in cheek, Bob, yeah. We're here. It's $150 billion is what we're spending to support illegals in the last budget. No small amount.
No small amount.
And as long as you brought that up, we were having a conversation before we got on the air about New York City, which is about to go broke again. And New York City went broke the last time in 1976 when Abe Beame was the mayor. He'd only been mayor for a year. John Lindsay was the one who ran up the debt. And when they went to Gerald Ford and asked to be bailed out, Gerald Ford said, go pound sand. And I have a feeling when they go to Trump to be bailed out, Trump's going to say, go pound sand. And the way they got out of that was through using money in the teachers' pension fund and having the big real estate people pay their taxes ahead of time to cover the gap. Well, I don't think Mandami's going to get the support of the big real estate people with the way he's treating them right now. And I don't know what reparations were made to the teachers' union pension fund, so I don't know what kind of shape that is. But we may be about to watch New York City go bankrupt.
I don't
really
understand.
Break my heart.
Yeah,
too,
it doesn't occur to them just to cut spending.
No, it doesn't.
That's just raise. No. He's already raising taxes, right? They're going up to 9% on income.
He's
tax.
Proposed it.
Yeah, but my point being is I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, he's
Instead
trying to.
Instead of cutting spending, they just raise taxes.
Right. They're trying.
They're discovering that free stuff is very expensive. And the grocery store deal, Pat, you had some information on that?
Yeah, when Mamdani announced that the first grocery store is going to cost $30 million to build, I read an article and it had actual real estate ads. Excuse me. From New York, and there was an empty grocery store for sale for $2 million. He could have just bought that one.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Bob says that Mamdani's brother is buying land.
Mamdani's brother is buying abandoned land at pennies on the dollar. He's refurbishing them and selling them back to the city at list price for the grocery stores.
And that's not a conflict of interest?
Oh, nothing to see here, folks.
Of course it is. It's
corruption. New York City. Conflict of interest does not exist in New York City.
I heard one commentator, I want to get back to business, about using race and making decisions in the government. And this one commentator said that Ketanji Brown, the black lady who's on the Supreme Court, that Biden indicated when he was selecting her that he was selecting he wanted a black woman on the court. So this guy was saying, well, maybe that's unconstitutional too, and she should be
Clay.
Removed from the court.
Yeah, Clay and Buck Sexton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I'm just saying it's interesting, though, because, and that's exactly what the blacks wanted during the 60s. They wanted race not to be considered. That's what.
That was Martin Luther King Jr. Yep.
You know, judge people on their merit and their ability, not on their color. But, you know, you got the Democrats keep trying to use race and being successful with it till now. This will change things somewhat.
Now, I'm not sure about the whole thing, but again, somewhere, I guess, in the Texas map, they're estimated to give the GOP 5 additional seats. I'm going back to the
House of Representatives. That's what started the whole thing.
That started it. Florida session may give them an extra 4 seats. Virginia's Supreme Court is killing that. Challenging the redistricting. And so there may be some good news hidden behind there.
But I agree with Kim. I think the whole process is, or rules for setting up districts should be done in a way that this type of manipulation can't happen. There ought to be some strict rules that are fair to everybody, that every party gets fair representation based on the percentage of people in that party in that state. And I think that would be fair, but how to do that, I don't know, but it should be done.
Well, it is ironic that the question that was asked during the Virginia election was, would you like to make the situation more fair? When it was already fair, it was 6-5.
Yeah.
But if we made it 10-1, would that be more fair?
Yeah.
No.
And that was part of the problem they got into, right? Because the language
of
that
ambiguous
referendum was confusing to people, the opposite of what it was actually doing.
Well, I think that was one of the issues that was brought up, but I read today that it was never addressed during oral argument. They never even brought up the more fair. They were too busy arguing about the rules because the rules required them to have so many elections, you know, in between.
Right.
Well, the reason the legislature was in session was because he had announced they were going to do a funding bill. And then so early voting started during that legislative session, and then they popped up with this constitutional amendment. So the people that voted early had no idea that that was going to be voted on. So they were disenfranchised as opposed to that. And
wow.
Yeah.
And I believe both votes were held by the same actual elected representatives.
Not only that, but a lot of states also have laws that indicate you can't change the districts mid-cycle.
Well, the thing that made me kind of giggle was they were arguing about what defines election. And the state's attorney actually argued that if you were voting early in an election, you weren't voting in an election. You were only counted as voting in an election if you voted on election day.
Ooh. I like that.
Well, on that, folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Alan, you're going to take us to a different topic.
Well, yeah, what happened last Saturday night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner that wasn't held in the White House. It was held in the Hotel Hilton, which is the same hotel just outside of which Ronald Reagan was shot. But anyway, what you know, that was a travesty and something that, to me, points out the total ineptitude of the Secret Service. This is the third almost successful attempt on President Trump's life. The first one at Butler, which he came within an inch of being killed. Then the one down at his golf course down in Florida where the guy had the gun on one of the holes and was waiting for Trump to walk up. Unfortunately, they just happened to spot it. What I understand is there was a gleam off the rifle barrel or something, and some Secret Service person saw it. So they screwed that one up. And this one, if you saw the videos, here they put up, I don't understand this. You put up a barricade. Well, they didn't put up a barricade. You put up a metal detector. Okay, everybody's supposed to go through the metal detector. This guy approaches it. He runs right around it and goes past it. What? Why didn't they put a barricade up so the only way in is through the metal detector? How was this guy able to run right around it, which he did? And my understanding is he went down the corridor, and as he was approaching the room, he tripped.
Yes.
If he hadn't tripped himself, who knows the damage he might have done? He might have been able to get in there, and I don't know. To me, they should have had a perimeter that's totally secure.
Well, this is this.
They didn't have it. They did not have it.
This again in that hotel. Apparently, there's 20 other functions going on at the same time.
Well,
now that's all. That's all. I'm not going to say ammunition. Yes, I am going to say ammunition for building the White House
ballroom.
Mm-hmm. And it is, but you know, that's not going to be built next week.
My understanding is that that security was a level above where the banquet room was. So it's not like it was right outside the door. But listening to other press commentators speaking, there was very limited security as going into the pre-parties where they weren't even checking tickets. So it does seem very lax, Alan.
It's obviously, I understand why President Trump would come out and thank the Secret Service for what they did. Okay, and some of the agents, I'm sure, did a good job in what they were supposed to do. I'm not criticizing everybody. I'm just saying that the whole process is not guaranteeing that Trump's going to be protected. You've got to have an external perimeter that's inviolate that you can't get through.
I agree.
Not let a guy just run around it.
I agree.
And if you can't do that, don't have the event there. That's the way I look at it.
Jimmy Fallon was on the red carpet interviewing people, and during a break, he discussed this yesterday on his podcast. He said he looked over, and the door that was letting people in from outside the hotel had two women standing holding the door open, and they would look at your ticket. Well, the ticket is the same every year except for the last digit. So if you had gotten a hold of the ticket format, you could have fudged a ticket, and he didn't see that they were looking at the ticket. You didn't have to show an ID with the ticket. You just had to show them the white piece of paper.
Well,
and he said something about off the air. Well, two fat chicks open, holding the door open, letting anybody in from outside doesn't seem like very good security.
Stephen Moore was one of the people there. And his...
Who is he?
He's an economist who was...
he's on TV.
...involved with Trump. And yeah. I think he's old enough to have been involved with Reagan. I don't remember. Yeah. But he was there.
Laffer.
And he was talking about the security. And he made the comment. He said, I had anticipated a very long security line and about an hour wait to enter the hotel. I brought my paper ticket and my passport identification. To my surprise, security was lax, to put it lightly. Wearing my tux, I walked in the front door by flashing the paper ticket. There was no code to be scanned, and I never once was asked for my ID.
Right.
That's right. And he makes a comment. The article's up at Powerline. And he makes a comment. It was easier to get into the Hilton to see the president and to get 30 feet from him than to attend a Wizards basketball game down the street.
Well, that's
Trump's team, don't they evaluate security?
Well, that's what Secret Service is. That is his team. The point is, in my opinion, three failures is enough. Mm-hmm. And they ought to fire the top echelon at Secret Service and get in a new group.
Start all over.
Because what do they have to lose? This group is just, and they come out and they applaud each other. Yeah,
but if I was Trump,
job.
I would be saying, you had the screw up last time. What have you done? What makes me safe this time? It doesn't make sense to me that he wouldn't be involved in what the security measures are.
But I think...
Well, I mean, that's not his job.
But with the rhetoric that we've heard over the last few years, whether it's from Jimmy Kimmel or even who's the minority leader in the House of Representatives...
Hakeem Jeffries.
He's saying, you know, we're constantly at war and whatever else, and all these other people saying the things they do. I believe now the Secret Service not only has to guard the president and vice president, but any of the cabinet members. I think that they have been stretched to their limits. Now, stretching to your limits, I don't know if the force has grown as much as it needs to, but it surely needs some kind of.
And who had the brilliant idea of putting six people in the line of succession in the same room? I mean, you had the president, the vice president, Speaker of the House. And I don't know who comes after that, but there were three more.
And what's troubling, Mary, is that we are not security experts, but we can see the errors that they made. Why don't they see it? That's why they need to be fired. They're either incompetent, I don't know how they got there, or I'm not saying that they want the president killed, but I'm not going that far. But I'm just saying. Incompetence. Three failures is enough. Three strikes and you're out.
Well, the one thing that wasn't talked about, they talked about weapons that this guy had. Had he had a hand grenade or had he been a suicide bomber?
But had a bomb. So.
It wouldn't have mattered where he was within the building.
That's true.
And all the evidence is that this guy did it on his own. He was some guy living on his own anyway. This was all just one person getting the idea, I got to go do something. Let's say you had a professional group that came in and say, all right, now how are we going to get the president? And they had a strategy.
Yeah, you create
a
diversion out here.
Yeah,
that's what I said to Glenn when it was going on. I said, I hope this isn't a diversion for another
attack.
Yeah,
somebody else coming in with a grenade or something.
That's what I was thinking was, you know, that the one individual is just a diversion to get all of the forces going there, and then
sniper to pick people off as they're evacuating.
Yeah. Yes,
you know how many times has that scenario?
Well, I think the idiocy was to actually some of the videos that we saw was to watch some of the I guess members of the press
stealing
going and
the wine bottles,
collecting the wine bottles.
Well, 100. They stole 100 wine bottles.
Yeah.
On their way out the door.
And this was—they said the wine was what, $84 a bottle.
The shooter, or you know, the guy.
Alleged.
I think we all saw him on the TV. He took his selfie up in the room before he came down. He was wearing all this gear, and he had pliers and wire cutters with him.
And he had the shotgun tucked under, like, down through his belt where when he had a jacket around, it covered it up. And he had a, I guess, a sort of pump shotgun, which...
And it had pellets in it.
Well, have we realized now that maybe we need the White House ballroom to be a secure location?
Well,
if the judges would leave it alone.
Yeah.
I mean, because this was, we can't do this again.
Why the hell are the judges, pardon my French, why are the judges involved? It's being paid by private donors.
What I heard.
It's not even coming out of the taxpayers.
But there's a process, and I think this is fair. There's a process you go through to account for that donation money getting to the right place. So it does require some government involvement, but it isn't the fact of the funding coming from the tax base.
No, and there was a congressman, I forget who it was, who's introducing a bill to go ahead and go forward for Congress to say, okay, we need to put a stamp of approval on this.
They need to do that because, the judges, you can always find a judge to block anything.
Wasn't part of the controversy over the ballroom was that they were destroying a historical part of the building? Wasn't that part of the complaint?
Yeah.
And they brought the complaint after it was already destroyed, which I thought was amusing.
Yeah.
So it should have been moot. The judge should have said, there's nothing to rule on because they've already torn it down. Next case.
And it was something built back either in the 1910s or some.
That was not in good shape.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've had President Obama put in a basketball court. I don't remember
Truman stripped the White House down to the studs. He didn't ask for permission.
Rebuilt the whole thing.
He rebuilt it from the inside out.
And Jackie Kennedy redesigned the inside, and she did a beautiful job.
They say you can't fix stupid.
And Hillary darn near destroyed the whole thing.
Well, she just took it home with her in the moving van.
Yeah, and the other thing that was interesting is after the fact, of course, Nora O'Donnell on the 60 Minutes or whatever else interviewed the president after the day after this thing, and brought up items on the manifest, this PERPS manifest, and items that are known to be false and disproven or whatever else. So what did rightly Trump read her the Riot Act, and I would say. Very, very necessarily read her.
But how many Americans believe those false accusations?
About
48%. Because they watch the mainstream
media. About 48%.
Yeah, that's not healthy.
Democrats.
That's not healthy.
Yeah, because I was in a situation today where there were people to the left, more of them than people to the right, and they brought that situation up about the interview and I'm not even sure they knew it was being read from the manifesto, but they just said, how he treated her was just terrible. How he jumped on top of her, the
Where
interviewer.
Where were you when that came up?
Doesn't matter.
When he did that? Yeah, and he was right based on the circumstance. He was 100%
Somebody
right.
made a false accusation, and he said no.
I'm just adding to the merit that if you want to think left, you're not going to see anything wrong with that.
The way it's perceived, that's right.
That's true.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. We're going to head off in a different direction. Pat, you're going to take us down Fraud Highway or whatever?
Fraud Highway. Oh, okay. Interesting article this morning. This was about the fraud in the SNAP or the EBT program. They ran a Doge program app against the DMV database in a particular red state. They were careful not to name the state. To see what kind of cars the people were driving that got SNAP benefits. And they found Maseratis, Bentleys, Porsches, Range Rovers, over 2,000 Teslas. And that's shocking.
It's called priorities.
What?
It's called priorities. You got to have a nice ride.
Well, it's like when I watch the Porch Pilots videos on YouTube, the people that are stealing from the porch are driving Mercedes, Range Rovers, Lamborghinis. Why are these people stealing?
But yeah. It's typical because you can drive through many ghetto-ish areas and see a whole bunch of nice cars.
Well, that's because their houses don't cost much because they're all crap.
Right, and if you don't have to pay for your food, you can afford more on your house, on your car. But we always used to have nicknames for those cars, you know?
Don't repeat that.
I'm not going to, but I'm just saying that, you know, you drive through trailer parks and see a lot of nice cars too.
My Chrysler was known as the Pimpmobile,
the Geezer Pimpmobile.
Geezer Pimpmobile.
Well, they had say we drive ghetto cruisers.
They announced the other day about the same fraud business that there were 20 child care centers in Minneapolis that have been served warrants to investigate their use or abuse fraud or of funds during the COVID crisis. And what they're finding out is that the parents, like one of the things that's happening in the country, the percentage of children being diagnosed as autistic has gone up dramatically in the last 10, 20 years. And what they found in one of these centers, the parents of the children were being paid to claim that their children had certain symptoms to qualify them for the welfare benefits they got from having an autistic child.
And the school gets paid more money for every IEP that they identify.
So they're coached. Well. They're coached as to what.
So, you know, and the thing about it is, like we've said before, there's so much that's going on. It really comes back, in my opinion, to the fact that the people who are supervisors of these welfare agencies are not doing their job by verifying the validity of how these funds are being spent. It's just, you know, all over the country.
And it's not just Minnesota. There was a recent article about California in the Daily Signal. And there were more than 400 hospices in Los Angeles, and the estimated fraud is greater than $600 million. And these many of these hospices have a recovery rate of like 97%. That's part of it. But the other part of it is when they check the addresses, one of them was in a burrito stand, one of them was in a tire store, and nobody ever vetted the license or the certification or checked the address.
And that same report, I think, Mary, said something like the amount of funds going into hospice in L.A. is 33% of the total hospice funds being spent in the entire country. Now, somebody should be aware of that and say, there's got to be something wrong here.
I got an idea. Let's take all the insurance workers who make it so hard to get insurance cover and put them over these fraud departments and have them the ones giving out the SNAP and the Medicare and the Medicaid and the free phones, because, you know, you can't get anything approved through an insurance company.
I know.
Let's move these people around and then we can fix that problem.
Yeah, they just denied the claim on my dental crown. So I had to pay for it. Yeah,
told you.
Let's put the dental insurance people over there.
Yeah, that'll work.
And the problem is that when you work for the government, that money, you have no vested interest in looking after that money.
Yeah.
Because it's somebody else's money.
That's why I said the
pocket.
Insurance company. They make money by not approving claims.
The people who are monitoring it should have a financial, they should be in the game somehow where negatively impacts them when this fraud happens. Now the fraud happens and they don't get blamed. I don't see anybody getting held accountable in these bureaucracies.
One thing I guess that concerns me, there does seem to be a lot of activity around the fraud, but I don't see Vance being associated with it at all. He may be tied up somewhat on these negotiations, but it sounds like that should be his main event.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't see him taking a hold of it, and I don't see his presence in that space.
Well, Dr. Oz, who is also vested in trying to root out this fraud, he was being interviewed the other day, and he said that that Vice President Vance was very involved and was helping this process. Now, it may not be showing up in the news or anything like that, but he did verify that,
Vance
was doing a good job.
That needs to be promoted a little bit.
From his perspective, he was, seeing it. But like you say, it's not coming out in the public anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, Ilhan Omar, $30 million to $85,000.
$95,000.
Oh, I'm sorry, as well.
I think I'd fire my accountant.
Is that a simple math error?
That was the accountant's fault, she said.
I think it's got something to do with the winery.
Yeah.
Well, that's now out of business, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, based on limited knowledge, I'm speculating that could have been some money laundering going on there. And if the winery was based at $95 million, you could kind of funnel that money towards an account, and then that goes bankrupt. And, I'm just speculating here, but it just seems like where there's smoke.
Well, that's different. By
but
the way,
I think I'd get a new accountant at that
rate. She's being investigated by the feds for having ties to some of the Somali fraudsters in Minneapolis.
That's my point.
And meanwhile, she made that wonderful statement when she was reading her remarks about World War XI.
Yeah.
And I think most of that fraud in Minneapolis is in her district.
Yeah.
That's because she went to the Learing Center, Alan.
The Learing Center?
Quality Learing Center.
The Quality Learing Center, yes.
Oh. Well, this is what happens when you get somebody that comes over from a foreign country. All you have to do is be a citizen for 7 years, and you're qualified to be in Congress. At the House of Representatives.
You have to have
And that ought to be done away with, this stuff where these people come in. Look what China's doing. I didn't realize this until I read this article the other day that, this birthright citizenship. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of Chinese women going, not even to the United States, continental United States, to Saipan, because that's one of our territories. And that if they have their child there, then they turn around, they go back, then they have proof of citizenship. So it's given China all these people that they can then infiltrate the United States. Whenever they want, they come out, get to be
And if they're
adults,
citizens, they vote.
Bring them, and do more than vote. They'll be getting involved in a lot of things like running for office and who knows what else. I hope they win. I hope the Supreme Court is as definitive against birthright citizenship as they were on this racial thing with the gerrymandering.
Now, there's was it congressional hearings against Governor Wall?
Walls.
I guess they were questioning how many people, you brought up the autism before.
Yeah, right.
How many were on autism back in 2017 versus how many now? It went from, it's a 3,000-something percent increase in the number of children.
It went in the year 2000, it was one in every 150 children were diagnosed with autism. Now it's one in every 31. So, I mean, that's like you say, it's about a 700% increase.
It's crazy, yeah.
And part of it, like I said, there's benefits now.
And the dollars,
parents get for having a child that's autistic.
I want to bring up that Hegseth and Kane were testifying in front of Congress today on how the war with Iran is going and how much we've spent so far. We've spent $25 billion. And of course, Hegseth was saying how well we were doing, blah, blah, blah. And of course, the Democrats on the panel were, you know, it's not going well. Iran is running rings around us. The blockade doesn't work. I've been watching videos of the Straits of Hormuz on YouTube TV, and it shows the IRGC fast attack boats trying to swarm our carriers or our other ships in the Straits. And I was unaware of all the radar suites and what we can do with radar and unpeeling, jamming, and how many weapon systems there are to simultaneously defeat the swarm technique. It is amazing. And if these clips are right, they've done attacks after attacks after attacks. And the Navy uses what they called layered defense. So they have air cover, they have A-10s, they have the stuff on the Navy ship, they have submarines. They've got the whole thing covered, and they've been beating off these attacks, and it's amazing
and
to
watch. I believe they have a presidential authorization to shoot to kill.
Oh, yeah.
Pardon my French.
Oh, yeah.
Pardon my French again. Yeah.
They don't even have to call. It's not like Afghanistan where you have to call D.C. and say, can I shoot this guy?
No.
I want to come back to this after we take a break, but I do want to mention the UAE has left OPEC. And another part of that is they're doing a pipeline that will put them on the other side of the Strait of Hormuz for their oil to be shipped. So the UAE, number one, will be out from under Saudi restrictions on how much oil they can pump. And number two, they will have a way of getting their oil where it needs to go without having to deal with the Strait of Hormuz.
And all of this should have been done in preparation for what Iran is doing now. Anybody that, you know, you put all that wealth dependent on some terrorist country, doesn't make sense.
No, and we were spending a lot of time trying to make nice with them, and
yeah.
It's not.
Yes.
47 years. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Around here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from around here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from around here.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Alan, you want to take us off on a...
Yeah, there's another subject going on, Bob. The House Oversight Committee, chaired by Comer, I think his name is Comer. Anyway.
James Comer.
James Comer, right. And they announced the other day they're going to open up an investigation, and they're starting with the head of the FBI, Kash Patel, about apparently there's been 10 to 11 people who worked in the government or associated with the government, working with things like nuclear secrets and real high technical, high security areas. And some of them have just gone missing. They just disappear.
Major scientists.
Major scientists in this country. And they have, like I said, they've identified 10 or 11 of them. A couple of them were actually in the military also. But they, it's kind of, you know, when you have that happening, is it a coincidence? Is somebody, you know, doing this intentionally? China, or whatever. But anyway, that's, so they're going to open up an investigation. Where it's going to lead, I mean, that's what they're going to find out.
Well, what's weird about it is that these scientists were involved in investigating alien technology.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And the last military person I think you might have been referring to was a general who was overseeing some of this.
Yeah.
And he had just retired. He just walked out of his house one day and never to be seen again.
Yeah,
and
maybe
one of the other scientists, I think it was a woman, walked out without her phone, her keys, or anything else, gone. One of the scientists was found burned to death in his Tesla. In a car accident. So 11 people, you know, one is happenstance, two is coincidence, three is uh-oh.
And this sounds like Clinton's side.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Hillary was in on this one.
Well, I don't, but it's just, you know, it's a pattern.
And I think there was a significant amount of this was space-related, which might connect to what you were just saying.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of that book, Ayn Rand book, Atlas Shrugged, where, you know, people just disappear and...
The qualified, yeah.
Yeah, I would hope they were in the valley.
Mm.
They all go to the valley.
Yeah,
where, the valley,
where
yes.
John Galt is.
Yes, yes. It's not Area 51, but it's the valley.
Yeah, the remnant that's going to pick up the pieces and remake the civilization.
The way it should be.
Yeah.
I've been watching a bunch of videos from a guy that's talking about what's going on in New York and saying you should care about what's happening in New York because it's a template from blue states to red states about why businesses are fleeing these blue states. And he's concentrating on New York City now under Mamdani. And I think he said 53 businesses have left in the last 2 years. And Mamdani thought he was being funny when he filmed that tax day video in front of Ken Griffin's penthouse apartment, which made Ken Griffin mad because Griffin has a $6 billion construction deal that is yet to be given the final go forward. And he's thinking about
within the
canceling,
city.
Yeah, canceling it. And Griffin's made an appointment to see Kathy Hochul how many businesses are leaving, how many headquarters are leaving that have been in New York over 100 years and are decamping to either Texas, Florida, North Carolina, or Tennessee.
I read today that there are several states that are looking at billionaire taxes, a one-time
yes.
tax, and I believe it was California.
They were waiting to see if they got enough signatures to put it on the ballot, and it passed. So it will be on the ballot later this year.
And they're looking at a 9.9% tax.
When you talk about billionaires' taxes, you need to remember that in 1913, when the income tax was put in place, it was only supposed to impact the top 3% of earners. And we saw how that went. So why should we believe them with their billionaires' tax?
I think when you look at the billionaires' tax, the 9% or whatever else, they don't have this sitting around as cash. In other words, they're going to have to, if you enact that tax, I'm going to have to sell or close some businesses so that I can pay that tax, and meaning I'm going to put people out of work. And they don't realize that.
Well, they tried this once before, and I think Maryland tried it, and all the millionaires in Maryland left.
Well, let's go back to George Bush as the senior, as president, when he was talked into the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
The luxury tax is the same thing. The luxury tax, well, in order to pay the tax, I cannot buy a boat. I can't do something like that. Guess which industries went darn near died.
Yeah. And John Kerry had his boat
in Rhode Island
because
he didn't want to pay the Massachusetts tax.
Right.
Well, if you put something like that on the ballot to the general public, there's a good shot those that aren't real informed about economy and how mobile people can be with their money, it's a good chance that's going to pass because the majority say, well, it doesn't affect me, but it does.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, well, they always say, well, the rich aren't paying their fair share. The truth of the matter is, it's, what is it, the top 5% or something like that? They pay almost 50% of the taxes. So it's a bunch of Marxist propaganda. And that's what they bought in New York, and then they're going to pay the price for it.
Yep.
Well, if we extrapolate down on taxes just in general, and we look at North Carolina and property taxes, they're going up, and it's really an example of an unrealized capital gain. If you think about it in terms of, say, you bought your house for $70,000 and you paid it off in 30 years, and now it's worth $400,000, you're not paying property tax on that $70,000 house you bought. You're paying property tax at the current value of that. So it's never really your own house ever because you're still paying property tax.
But isn't there legislation pending in North Carolina to put a limit? I read it somewhere that there was some legislation been introduced to put a limit on the amount that the state, how much they could increase your property tax per year, something, I don't know what, 3%, something
right.
like that.
So but think about our grandparents, though. So, say your granddad had a fishing shack on the Neuse River, now is in a really fancy development that got built up behind him, and now his land is worth $1 million, but grandpa's doesn't have any money and living on fixed income, but his property tax is super high. So how many people are you actually going to be putting out of their homes because they can't afford property tax?
Well, he could sell it for $1 million and buy a better home.
But he shouldn't have to. That's the point. He shouldn't have to.
If it's family land.
I'm going to disagree.
Well, if it's family land for years and years and years and years.
Things don't stay static. Things move. And market values change constantly.
But how many farmers' families, when the farmer dies, have to sell the farm because they can't pay the
death tax?
That's
something that can be fixed through legislation.
And why should we be punished for staying someplace? It just feels like that's become very, very burdensome.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a real interesting article in the Epoch Times this week about a couple, elderly couple that have lived on this property that's been in their possession, family possession, for like 200 years. Okay, so they've been there a long time. And it's like 1,500 acres, a real big place. And what was happening was a data center was coming in and wanted that property. They offered this family $26 million to buy this land. And the reason the article was in the paper was they refused. They said, no, this is our family property. This is our family farm. And we want that to continue and be in our family. So they stood up against the money, which is, you know, they're right. But these data centers are coming into these areas, and they require so much resources, not just electricity, but water and a lot of other things. And they're picking out these rural areas and going in and making these offers that the people can't refuse.
I wonder if the state economic, whatever they call the thing, that would instill eminent domain, you know, for the greater good, if they'd say we're going to bring in 600 jobs in this data center.
Well, that's what they argue, of course, and they probably would. I mean, it would bring a lot of jobs, but the family decided they wanted to maintain their farm, and so you know, I guess they didn't need the $26 million.
Well, actually, there was a town that okayed a data center that the people of the town were opposed to, and the city commission voted for it anyway, so they had a recall election and dumped them. Everybody that voted for the data center, out.
Sounds like democracy to me.
Yeah. You go all the way back even to the Supreme Court decision on, was it Kelo
yeah,
decision in New London, Connecticut, where they took over some woman's, I'm going to say waterfront property, maybe not right directly on the water, but they took it over so they could build a pharmaceutical center there. And then after everything was taken over, the pharmaceutical center said, no, we're going somewhere else.
Great.
Property's not
yours.
Yeah,
the issue there was whether or not the state could use eminent domain to take your property in order to let another company build on it that would pay more taxes to the government.
Yeah.
And that's not what eminent domain was.
But that was what happened in New London, Connecticut.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because eminent domain is supposed to be for something that's for the good of everybody, like building a road or a bridge, isn't it?
Or part of the wall on the border.
Yeah, something like that, not just somebody giving it to another private business.
And also, as there are the, I'm going to say, asinine videos on Facebook or whatever else about some of the eminent domain things where they're going to put something through your property when the city could have just as easily moved 20 feet over and not interfered with your property. And again, some of those things are...
Just goes to show how little concern our government has for us, we the people.
Well, and I want to bring up one more topic before we end the show. I want to say that we are still trying to put forth the Save America Act, and I would like to encourage people to contact their representatives and tell them that you want to them to fight to approve the Save America Act, and I think we need to get rid of John Thune.
Whatever that takes, yes. We need to just
we need to
find somebody
who
else.
Push a law that 80% of Americans approve of.
Agreed.
And folks, again, I think we've got to wrap the show up. I would like to remind you, set aside May 28th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. We are sponsoring Back the Blue at Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern, and we're going to honor members of Craven, Carteret, Pamlico Sheriff's Offices, and also New Bern and Havelock Police Departments.
Does it cost anything to get in?
No cost.
Open to the public.